It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows. It's a special Whiskey Bear Comedy Festival edition of the podcast. Today, I am joined by some out-of-town friends. First up, we have Jamie Carbone.
What up?
Hunter Roberts.
That's me.
Tyler Jackson.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
And Diego Atanasio.
Greetings.
And we just finished watching Dread, the 2012 comic book action movie based on the popular comic book character of the same name that's not Sylvester Stallone this time around. Yeah. It was written by Alex Garland, who wrote 28 Days Later, some other stuff, but mainly 28 Days Later, which is pretty tight.
Sandra
film.
Bullock is great in that.
Did he have something to do with Dark City?
Oh, yeah, I think he wrote that, too.
Oh, maybe. That was a weird
movie. Well, I know Alex Proyas directed Dark City.
That might be who I'm thinking
of. Yeah. But stars Carl Urban as the titular character, the no-nonsense cop who plays by all of the rules. Also, Olivia Thirlby in a supporting role, and Lena Headey, of course, Cersei Lannister as the villain. And Wood Harrison, who folks might recognize as Avon Barksdale from The Wire. Unfortunately, the movie did not do as well financially as it should have. They've been trying to get a sequel going for years, and it's not yet. There's a lot of hopeful talk, like, oh, maybe we'll make it a Netflix series, or maybe so forth and so on, but nothing's come from it yet, which is a bummer, because this movie's pretty great, and it's one of my favorites, and most of you guys have not seen it, so let's get into that. Jamie, how have you not seen this?
I haven't seen it, because as it came out, I had a buddy who talked about it like it was the greatest film ever made. He called it at the time the greatest comic adaptation that he had ever seen. And I think it's very good. But he said it so much to the point where I got like fucking annoyed about it.
Uh-huh.
Where I went out of my way to not watch it basically for years.
I'm sorry your shitty friend ruined it.
Yeah, me too.
It was me.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's not my turn yet.
Just kidding. I don't have friends. All right. I saw it.
Well, I know you saw it. That's why I didn't ask you.
Well, I wanted my opinion on record as I saw it, so because I'm better than all of you. That's what I don't know. Moving on.
Great interlude, Hunter.
Yeah, I'm here to help, guys.
Really beefed up the conversation.
Yep.
Tyler, how about you? How have you not seen this?
I saw it just now. It was one of those movies where I wanted to watch it for a long time and it just never happened. I had heard great things from people whose taste in movies I trusted, and it was even like streaming on like Netflix or whatever for like a while. And it was in my queue and I just never got to it. I don't know.
Okay. Diego, how about you, buddy? Same question.
Sometimes I don't really like scary movies.
Okay.
You know, and it's not like a horror movie, but it's like, you know, it's kind of a little like...
It is called Dread.
It's edgy and on the dark side, and there's blood and stuff. So I don't, especially on my own, I don't...
So you're just not going for violent movies?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I'm not like opposed. I just tend to not sometimes, okay. You know, like, so...
So just out of curiosity, like What gets your butt to the theater then? Like, what is a movie like you see something for and you're like, I gotta see this?
Comedies, and I mean, I like all the Marvel movies. I like most superhero movies. I mean, Dread's like a little on the fringe. I'm not like too much comic, but if it's like mainstream comic book heroes, I'll do that. But mostly comedies. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah,
Dredd's also much bigger as a character in England, right?
Yeah.
Because he's
from
2000 AD.
Yeah, and I fucking hate England.
3000 AD.
I didn't even know that. I guess I knew that.
Yeah, he's from the magazine 2000 AD, is where he first appeared before he got like regular monthly publication in his own series.
Yeah.
Does he even still have that anymore? I feel like that ended.
I think like new titles still get written here and there. Right. Like, I don't think it's as consistent as it used to be.
Right. I think he does minis at best.
All I know is this year for Free Comic Book Day, there was not a Judge Dredd comic book like there was last year, which was a huge bummer.
But there was a Fresh Off the Boat new Comic Book Day comic
book. Like, from the series?
Yes.
Well, I thought they did like a thing, something to do with Stan Lee, right?
Did they?
Well, like Facebook videos will pop up, and apparently they were trying to come up with new comic book characters or something like that to send in to Stan Lee.
Do you like Fresh Off the Boat?
I've never seen it. It'll be like sponsored ads.
Is Fresh Off the Boat about Stan Lee's family? I mean, Lee is a Chinese name.
Yep, it's about how when he was a little Chinese boy in the 90s.
Stan Lee Chinese?
Yes. It's based off that dude is a chef now, apparently, right? Yeah.
He used to be an entrepreneur. He actually, after the first season, he walked away because they said they lost the thread of, why are we talking about Fresh Off the Boat?
I don't know.
Is that that's the Asian show?
Yeah.
Ali Wong writes for it.
Does she?
I think so.
She was on an episode.
That's like her money. I think that's like the Ali Wong money.
Oh.
Gotta get that Ali Wong money, that Baby Cobra money.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's weird that's a comic book that exists.
Yeah. I got it.
I think it's weird that any comic
free.
Books exist.
It was free. I took everything.
Print is dead. You're not wrong.
Well, hey now. Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Hey now.
I send that comment to books. I think it's weird that books exist.
Yeah.
Get out of here. If it's any good, it'll be a movie.
That's fair.
Fight me.
Getting back to movies. Now that we have watched one, what did you guys think?
That was good. I thought it was a little slow in the middle.
Okay.
I felt like the whole hostage, having that guy around was not really necessary. I felt like they only did it because they didn't quite have a good way of getting to that plot point. But
they paid him too much. They needed him for more.
Maybe. Also, what an unlikable character.
Oh, yeah. Wood Harris usually plays unlikable characters. Even Avon Barksdale's not that likable.
That's fair.
I mean, he was a bad guy, so.
Also true.
Yeah.
I feel like he's supposed to be unlikable.
There's not a lot of likable characters in the movie. Dredd in and of himself isn't likable.
Yeah.
You like him because you're supposed to. Yeah, and he'll have his random quips where you're like, hey, that's funny. But, like, he's not a likable character. I'd say I would argue that Anderson is the only likable character in the movie.
Yeah, I think I can see that.
I like the medic guy.
He was a pretty big dickhead.
The medic guy whose crisis of conscience comes at the exact wrong time in the movie.
Yeah. The guy, his whole role in the movie is just locking himself in a room.
Did not think that one.
And
through.
Then saying, hey, I'd like to do the right thing, and then getting shot in the head for his trouble.
There are no sides. Oh, that's the most philosophical part of the movie.
A bullet inside his head in the middle part. So I love the movie personally. Like it's one of those ones that I could probably just turn on and watch.
Yeah, it has that vibe.
Yeah,
it's like Christmas, you just leave it in the background.
Get the grandparents together. We all sit around and watch this drug fueled family romp.
This is your It's a Wonderful
Life. Yeah.
Hey, you think this should be on TBS 24?
Hey, Jamie, it's funny that you said the first part of the movie was slow. When that's the part of the movie with where they use that slow-mo drug the most.
Yeah, you would think. That's the only time I can think of where I've seen like justification for slow motion. And they use it four times.
They should have got Wong Kar-wai to direct this movie. He loves slow-mo.
Better him than Zack Snyder.
Chung King Dread Spress. That's what they would call it.
God damn it. So how about you? Thoughts?
I thought it was really good. I love a good action movie. I think a well-done action movie is a very rare thing. And that said, this was a well-done one. Probably like a solid B+ for me, I think. Okay. It's not up there in like the top echelons with like Die Hard and all that, but it's certainly one of the better ones I've seen in a long time.
Cool. I know we were talking earlier. You mentioned that Kingsman was a recent favorite of yours.
Kingsman gets an A for
what,
sure.
What are some other ones, like say like the last 5-6 years or so, that have kind of stuck out for you?
Oh, man. As far as action movies?
Yeah.
I don't know if it counts, but The Nice Guys.
I would count that. It's Shane Black. I'd count that.
Action comedy.
I mean, The Car Show, especially. That's like an all-action scene.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great action comedy. Crank 2.
Crank 2.
I have a deep love for Crank 2. That's like one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, this is crazy, and it's exactly what they wanted it to be and nothing else.
I just have a deep love for Jason Statham.
I think Jason Statham's in a lot of crap. But,
oh, he absolutely is.
But Crank 2 is wonderful. I mean, I just watched Terminator again last night for the first time in 10 years. Terminator holds up there. Terminator 2. Aliens is up there. I don't know. I got some ideas about this movie that we could talk about in a little bit that involve some other old action movies.
Oh, absolutely, we can. All right, Diego, how about you? What'd you think?
It was fun. No, there was some good. There's like some fun stuff. I like the computer gun, and that was fun. And it reminded me of like a Walkman. I think I've had like the LCD on there. Like I feel like they ripped that off of like some old Sony device.
It was based on the Talkboy
from Home Alone 2.
I like that your initial assessment just sounds like a mother like conveying to her child to like. They support them, but like they don't really like what they're doing.
Well, honey, I'm just glad you're happy.
This, you're good at this music. Do you have to yell so much though?
Do you have to say F so many times?
So happy that everyone got paid, you know? Yeah. I feel like it's already a dream there, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't even making a movie just a good act in and of itself?
Yeah, that's true. It's no. really a big
if the movie's deal. Good, that's just bonus. That's just gravy.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever tried to fucking make a movie? It's
I made student films in college, and those were a headache, and those nowhere near what they're doing here. So I, even shitty movies, is like, this is terrible, but hey, you made something. You put this into the world, so good on you.
I'm pretty sure that's sci-fi's motto. Like, good for us. We
just,
did it.
Here. This,
this movie is probably on the Sci-Fi Channel a lot.
It should be.
I'd buy that, yeah.
Do they even show, like, non-sci-fi original movies on there anymore?
I mean, Stargate. But I think then they go into like the episodes. SG-1.
Then they start showing the show.
Or maybe
Stargate.
Those are just like the Stargate TV show movies that they made.
That's it. Yeah, I think
Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, I think they just show the TV show movies.
It's a shame. James Spader's really good.
My parents oddly love Stargate SG-1.
Really?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I used to get them SG-1 DVDs every year for Christmas. They'd be like, "Just what we wanted."
This is a gift. We know who you like, Richard Dean Anderson.
Oh yeah.
Who doesn't like MacGyver?
His enemies.
There's an evil MacGyver.
Is there an evil MacGyver?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure.
MacGruber?
MacGruber's the better MacGyver. Yeah.
His name's
MacGruber.
Also a great action movie.
Gackmoy.
I hated MacGruber. Yeah, MacGruber.
You hated it?
I hated MacGruber.
What? Don't let Alex stipulate.
Oh, come on, man.
I did not like it.
It's so fun. That.
I got to see it for free even, and I was very disappointed.
I saw an old man walk out of it.
Was it? You know what? When he's fucking celery up his butt.
Yeah, right on her grave.
Yeah, yeah.
The part where Ryan Phillippe has the celery up his ass is like, I could just leave.
I can't move past this. We got to address this.
I'm sure I was
appreciated comedic genius.
Oh God. I think a lot of like the Fat stuff with all Kilmer. The wrestlers is kind of unnecessary. I just think it's a lot of dumb bits, and I like love Last Man on Earth. It's not a thing against Will Forte. I just think it's a dumb movie of a dumb concept.
But isn't that the point?
I guess. I don't know. I think Val Kilmer deserves better roles. I guess that's what I want to end this on.
I think it's in like the top three SNL-based movies ever made.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like Wayne's World, MacGruber, and Blues Brothers for me. And yeah. I don't even
Where's
know if
Ladies
I should
Man
count.
In there?
Man, someone eat
towards
shit in that
the
movie.
Bottom.
No, thank you.
Ladies Man. Where's Superstar?
Oh boy!
No,
get out. Marlon Williams is good in that.
Superstar might be my second least favorite SNL.
Which your least favorite? It's Pat
Stewart Saves His Family.
It's Pat. Oh man, I always forget about Stewart Saves His Family.
I've never seen Stewart Saves His Family.
No, spoiler alert. It's hard to say if that's worse than Superstar or not.
He saves his family.
Yeah,
good for him.
But no, it's Pat is hands down the worst.
I've never
SNL
seen
movie.
It's Pat either.
Oh, it's fucking
it
awful.
It used to come on HBO all the time when I was a kid, and I'd always try and sit and watch it, but then there's just that scene at the beginning where, like, everybody's trying to figure out what gender the fucking baby is, and then the mom just goes, "It's Pat," and every time I was like, no, I will not force myself to the rest
no,
of this.
No, it's bad. And then they wrote poor Dave Foley into it, too.
Oh, no.
I want to like, read, like, modern criticism of It's Pat, and they're like, gender is a spectrum. Pat is Pat is whatever it wants to be.
Where's the Jezebel article?
Yeah, dude, it was so ahead of its time. That was
it's
the
a
problem.
Great, it's a movie about
problem.
Pronouns.
The problem was it is ahead of its time.
It's going to have a millennial renaissance.
It's Pat is going to get the cultural cachet it deserves.
Oh, we just weren't ready for it as a society yet. Julia Sweeney,
who has done nothing but write books about why she's not Catholic anymore since.
I'd say last time I remember seeing Julia Sweeney in anything was Pulp Fiction.
They did a cartoon adaptation of that comic strip about the babies. And like the parents who were like trying to be, she was the mom on that. And I was on Adult Swim all the time when I was in high school.
The
Baby Blues.
Cartoon Baby Blues?
Yeah, yeah, Baby Blues. That was it. Mm. She was the mom on that. I Google a lot of things.
It's a weird trajectory for Julia Sweeney.
I mean, it's, you got to get paid somehow.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, back to Dredd.
Which is probably my was Dredd a man SNL or a woman? Spinoff.
He never took his hat off. I couldn't tell.
Dredd was Carl Urban.
We don't know.
Who is all that is man.
Oh, all right.
Says you.
That awesome New Girl Nick turtle face that he's making the whole time. That yeah. You said he smelled a fart.
Yeah,
the whole
it looks
time.
Like he's constantly smelling a fart that somebody did.
Can only emote through his mouth.
Yeah, no, that's
like, he did some
that's
great,
acting.
It's that, some great that's chin almost, acting.
That's
dude.
Every like face in the comics too. Like he's always drawn with like that, that permanent scowl.
It's tight.
And he quips a lot in the movie, but and I was like, does he do that in the comics? And yeah, he does.
Yeah,
because there's that time he was facing the death judges. And the one guy was like, look into the face of death. And his response was, look into the fist of Dredd. So,
and he punches through his face. Straight through. Like,
correct.
Comics
are great.
I was just happy that he said, I am the law.
Oh, yeah. No, that the first time I saw it in the theater, I genuinely got chills. Like that was maybe one of my favorite moments in a movie ever. Was just that single
moment.
Did
you see it in 3D when you saw it?
Of course I did.
You look like some sort of plebeian to you.
Yeah. It was at the cheap theater. Of course I paid for 3D. It was like $6 to see it in 3D. Why would I deprive myself of that?
They have 3D at the cheap theater?
Oh yeah. I've been waiting almost 15 years for a good Judge Dredd movie at that
point. Had you really? You didn't love Rob Schneider in the original?
Rob Schneider-less Judge Dredd?
See, the original Judge Dredd is my top three SNL movies.
Look, there's only one good movie with Rob Schneider aiding
Demolition
a future
Man.
Cop, and
it's Demolition
Man.
It's
yes.
absolutely Demolition Man.
Yeah, because Judge Dredd is, fuck that movie.
I remember as a kid, I got Demolition Man and Judge Dredd, like, so ingrained as being the same movie. And that one time when I was young, I watched all of Judge Dredd, and when Wesley Snipes never showed up, I was so confused.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes is a better villain than Armand Asante. You're right.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone. Which one is Diane Lane in?
Judge Dredd.
So
Sandra
the other
Bullock
Sandra
is
Bullock.
In Demolition
okay.
Man, yeah.
28 days. Full circle.
Hell yeah. 28 days later?
Yeah, the one where she gets... She goes to rehab so she can be sober when she fights zombies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Viggo Mortensen's there, too.
And then the dad.
And the scarecrow.
From 28 Weeks Later is in Stargate. Robert Carlyle.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Who's in Stargate?
He's in one of them. One of the TV shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the last one. The
I'll
last
say
one.
It. Like, I knew it. Not that guy. Off mic. I don't know anything.
No, Carl Urban has a bad history with futuristic cop movies set in giant walled cities. Because he did this one, mm-hmm. and again, everybody loved it, but it didn't do financially well. And then he did that Fox show, Almost Human, which was awesome. Like, that show was so good.
It was very good.
Canceled. And I was just like, man, that was such a good show. And it was also a futuristic walled-in city, too.
I feel like, in general, like, sci-fi and action series on Fox don't fare well anymore.
Well, see, every single season since Almost Human, they've put out a futuristic cop show.
And they get canceled.
And it gets canceled. I was like, you had one that was actually good mm-hmm. and, like, had star power behind it, because
they had Minority Report.
Minority Report canceled. This year, they had APB, which we just found out today was canceled. So that, like... Almost Human was your one. You should have kept that one.
Cops aren't in right now. You know, you got
future cops.
Yeah, future cops.
Yeah, future cops. Because Brooklyn Nine-Nine is doing fine for
right.
itself.
Yeah. Chicago Justice
PD.
Is that about cops? Or is that the lawyer?
There's
one?
Like
that might
five
be the lawyer one.
There's Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and Chicago Justice.
I've never seen Chicago Fire, but they have shut down the street in my neighborhood.
For
Chicago Fire Street.
So,
made it hard
so
to get
that
home.
Show.
I can't take the Chicago Justice commercials seriously because they all have a focus on Carl Weathers. And he's acting in the same way he tried to teach Tobias to act on Arrested Development. So every time his sentences don't end with, like, now you got a stew going, I don't believe it's actually Carl Weathers talking.
Cool. Oh, man. I'm just waiting for them to bring back VR5.
Oh, Jesus.
What was VR5?
That was the show that came on after the X-Files about VR crimes. like people would project themselves into virtual reality.
What?
It was around the same time that The Lawnmower Man was real popular.
Oh, oh.
Boy, The Lawnmower Man's real terrible.
Was that movie 90s. Ever popular?
Big old Jeff Fahey fan I am.
Big old Pierce Brosnan fan.
I love Jeff Fahey but on that
movie,
Lost.
That movie peaks when the monkey has a gun at the beginning. And there's never a killer monkey for the rest of the
they
movie.
They should just make a whole movie about that monkey.
For real, that would have been... Lawnmower Monkey would have been way better Lawnmower than monkey. Lawnmower Man.
Wasn't that just Outbreak, though?
It should have been.
Kevin Spacey gets killed by a monkey. Spoiler.
Lawnmower Monkey.
That's a case of, like, I don't know if a movie has ever missed the source material more than the movie Lawnmower
Man.
Oh,
yeah. Stephen King was furious.
Lawnmower Monkey,
Stephen
too.
King was on so much cocaine that he didn't care.
He, like, tried to sue to get his name off. I think they did take it off. It doesn't say based on Stephen King.
Nothing like the story.
No. And then they made a second one for some reason.
Job's War.
My favorite time was when they were just making computer villains, and like they didn't, like, nobody knew how the internet worked,
right? They're just like
Ghost in the Machine is one of the best. Like, somehow he gets sucked into a computer,
yeah,
and then he uses his computer powers to turn a microwave on full blast and melt a dude in a kitchen, which can't happen. And then he somehow uses his computer power,
do it right now,
to electrocute a girl, a babysitter, with a dishwasher. It's so dumb, and it's like, you know, there was somebody in the 90s going, yeah, this is how the internet works.
Let's remake Shocker for the information.
Oh boy, Shocker's a piece of shit. I watched it for a podcast just a couple of weeks ago, and boy, it doesn't hold
that's
up.
That's the only reason anybody watches Shocker
what
these
was,
days.
Fucking Spider-Man Virtuosity with Russell Crowe and Denzel.
Washington.
Was it like Russell Crowe's like first American movie or something like that?
Yeah.
Johnny Mnemonic. Takeshi Kitano and Keanu Reeves and a
Takeshi Kitano is in Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah, and Ice-T is like a talking dolphin.
Yep.
Based on a William Gibson short story.
What the fuck is this movie?
It's very ridiculous. Henry Rollins is there. I'm playing a guy named Spider, if I remember
correctly.
Like
he's also in Bad Boys.
It's like a prequel to like Neuromancer, too.
Yeah,
something
it's like a weird cyberpunk just mess.
No one could learn how to speak English off of the last few sentences you guys have said. Neuromancer.
Look, it's not the purpose
of
the
podcast.
Oh, you
haven't seen Neuromancer? Oh, man. Oh, it's a Takeshi Kitano.
Yeah, if you're listening to this
baby
podcast to learn English... You
fucked
up somewhere.
We haven't even done a good job of
talking
about
Dread.
The movie we're talking about.
If you're listening to this podcast to know about the movie Dread, you're not going to learn
a lot of terrible Dread. Nerd tangents have been really all that's happened.
Okay, I know some points I wanted to make about Dread. Yeah. Dread does two things that I really like in movies. One, it does that thing where the whole movie has like a linear progression where they're like getting through levels, almost like a video game. Like movies that come to mind that do that, like Game of Death, The Raid, Scott Pilgrim, where there's like a progression where they're like fighting like all the way up the building.
Snowpiercer does that.
Snowpiercer is a great example. I love it when movies do that. Two, it does another thing I love in action movies where the entire action movie is like one thing happens and then they spend the whole movie just dealing with that one thing and it never goes away from it. Like Speed, Die Hard, again, Snowpiercer.
Well, Speed kind of does in the third act.
In the third act, yeah. I mean, that's the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Like, pop quiz, hot shot. What is it? Something else. High Noon is my favorite Western for that exact reason.
Oh, what about... is High Noon the one that Sam Raimi directed?
High Noon is
the
one...
No, that's
Quick
and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead has another... It feels like it's tougher opponents each time.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
So it's also kind of like a upward progression.
Even like the Magnificent Seven or the Seven Samurai, like they don't quite fit
or
it. But
a
like
Bug's Life, because little did you know that is literally
or the
they
three
based
amigos.
It off of yeah they based
they
a Bug's Life
off
of Seven Samurai.
Samurai.
Yeah,
who
very
does
much
the caterpillar represent
the
Toshiro Mifune.
Yeah. but yeah, I love that kind of stuff, like where they're like. There's just like it's like one scenario and they just spend the whole movie dealing with it and it just does not go away from that.
You mean
all.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's sudden death?
I haven't seen that. Is that the one at the hockey game?
Yes, that is the one at game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I liked it better when it was called Nick of Time.
The it plays out in real time, that one. With
Johnny
and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
To piggyback off of Tyler's point though, I also like that our protagonists are a man and a woman, and at no point is it romantic.
Oh, yeah. Passes the Bechdel test.
And I, well, not really, because I don't think the women ever have conversations. Women have to have a conversation where they don't talk a man.
They do. Very briefly.
No, because they ask, what's the other person in this room thinking about? Two, and it's a man.
The two, Mama and the female judge, the female corrupt judge, talk about killing the other girl.
The other, that's fair.
So it does, it passes the Bechdel test.
I'll give you that one.
They actually put that scene in there, though.
Just to pass just the, to Bechdel, pass the test.
Bechdel test. They're like, what would Alison Bechdel think of Dredd? Oh, she'd like it. Yeah, she's a big fan.
She's a fan. Pretty good. She supports it.
I guess also there's not really a whole lot of, like, I feel like there's not a lot of more than two person conversations the entire movie. There's not a whole lot of conversation.
No, it's they let the guns do the talking here.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, this is Eric, the audio engineer of the Big Dumb Picture Show. There are Rogue One spoilers ahead, so at the sound of Dredd, just skip ahead 1 minute and you'll be fine. Thanks.
I'm the law.
I hate it when they like shoehorn in romance for no reason.
I absolutely
that was,
hate it.
Oh, you
when
mean
I,
the Thor movies?
When or I Judge
saw,
Dredd?
When James I saw Foster. Rogue One, like, and it got to the end and it was just what, like, Diego Luna and the main character at the end, I was like, please don't kiss. Please do not kiss. And then they're... Yeah, they hug, and I was like, oh, thank God, good.
Also, Diego, I don't think Rogue One is very good.
I
loved it.
Thought
really?
It was great.
I was way into
it. No, I think
better than Force Awakens.
No, it wasn't.
Oh my God!
Oh boy, open a can of worms here.
I disagree.
You are all entitled to your incorrect opinion.
I thought it was great.
I like that it just ended with everyone dying.
See,
like,
here's the thing. I like the idea of people sacrificing themselves on this. But we're spoiling a lot of the Rogue One right now. But here's the thing. They were acting like none of these deaths really mean anything because it's all for the greater good. But then everyone's death means something. They all sacrifice themselves in some ridiculous way where you undercut your fucking message. And also, the second act fucking blows. It is boring, and I fell asleep in the theater the second time I went to see it.
It blows literally?
Yeah, well,
you
I mean,
see it twice and you hate it?
Because
something doesn't add up.
I lied to my wife about me not thinks, having seen it, and I had to go see it again with her.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
That's how I got tricked into seeing Van Helsing and Return of the King more than once in the theaters. Fuck?
I saw Transformers Revenge of the Fallen twice in theaters for a similar reason. And boy, oh boy, is that the worst Michael Bay movie of all time.
I saw Wild Wild West twice in theaters.
That movie holds up.
That's a Wild Wild West twice today.
That's because there was a girl involved. That's why that one happened. Yeah.
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild.
Yes.
Damn. Well,
damn it.
Desperado.
You know what? Some
Rough
more
Rider?
No, some more movies that do that boss fight type thing. Kill Bill's.
Oh yeah.
Great
example.
Yeah, I love Kill
and
Bill.
Also, have you guys seen Story of Ricky?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
The Chinese action movie time. From the 90s. It's like this guy in prison and he has to fight through all the different gang bosses to get to the warden. And it's so stupid. It's fantastic.
So also, I guess Mortal Kombat would follow this.
I guess, but Reptile's like the second to last fight. And that guy sucks.
That guy was a chump.
Johnny Cage is the best part of that movie.
Oh, absolutely. Lyndon Ashby.
I love him
name?
So much in that movie. Yeah, he's in Teen Wolf now.
Yeah, I love the guy who plays, I think about this all the time whenever I get near a boat, is the scene when they first start to travel and Johnny Cage gives his suitcase to the guy who plays Liu Kang.
Robin
Chow.
Yeah. From Beverly
Chow.
Hills Ninja.
Is it Robin Chow or Robin Liu?
It's Robin Chow. It's S-H-O-U. He gives it to him and then he just drops it in the water and then walks away. And I think about that all the time. Every time I'm near a boat. Childhood is weird. What sticks with you?
So back to Dredd.
Yes. So back to movies that
I feel like you've said that eight
are
times
Dredd.
At this point.
We have talked about at least 40 movies that are not Dredd at this point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Back to Dredd.
I like Dredd. I mean, I think I like how, you know, you have, because whenever it's, you have the final, the final boss of sorts in movies like this, they could be like a decrepit old man and still they give a challenge. Lena Headey didn't really give much of a challenge. She had,
yeah,
like,
that was disappointing.
That's final, a
I, see, I preferred that. I wish they had done more in that final gun scene before dispatching her that way, but I thought it was more realistic.
Well, I like it too because, movie. I mean, that was more of like a high stakes game she was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dredd gut shot her and threw her. Not entirely sure that it was gonna work.
Right.
That's just how singular his dedication to carrying out sentencing against criminals is.
Right.
It's like, maybe everyone in this building will die, but you'll pay for your crimes. But you're guilty.
I thought it was weird he got her high before
doing
it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because that's because they needed that slow mo scene one more time.
Dredd is not without compassion.
Well, it's like I'm killing you, but I want you to know I'm a chill bro. Yeah.
Like, but that's the debate though. Would it make it better or would it make it worse?
I think it makes it worse. Like, because he even made that comment when they see the bodies, like, "Oh, long fall" or whatever.
Yeah,
I think like it was very much like kind of an eye for an eye mentality, like doing to her what she had done.
That makes sense.
It's weird to think about the political dimensions of Dredd. He's like the embodiment of fascism.
Right? Oh yeah, absolutely. Like he's just totalitarian,
and he's supposed to be the hero. Cool.
The movie doesn't really it's such a dim, bleak future. It doesn't really give you a lot to root for though, because everybody else is kind of awful too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the only person you're supposed to care about is Anderson.
Yeah, and I like that you get those, like, especially when they go to the apartment of the wife of the dude that she just executed.
Yeah.
And then, like, that piece is revealed, just like, fuck, that's a lot to
Which
take
in. Inherently, it's a dumb idea to make her a judge who has to be emotionless and willing to make
decisions.
Yeah,
there's no gray area.
And she's literally an empath. Like, it's literally, she's literally born feeling what other people feel. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking pointless. That's, like, the dumbest thing. That's the dumbest job she could have. It's like, I don't know.
It's kind of a nice touch to have her there and be like a good character though. Because at the beginning of the movie, I was worried she was going to be there just to be an audience cipher, like an Ellen Page in Inception. Just there to have, so Dredd has somebody to explain stuff to.
Yeah.
No, they rarely did that. And in fact, I like that he kept going to her for to like assess the situation.
Pop quiz Hutch.
Yeah, kind of.
Take it, rookie.
But I thought that was like a legitimately cool way of being like, look, no, she's not, you know, she's not an audience surrogate. She's got to be the one who makes the calls too. And I appreciated that.
I like seeing a woman get to play like a big action role like that too. That's pretty cool. And even as the villain, Lena Headey, I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, I wish she had a little more screen time.
A little more to do.
Yeah, but even the scenes where she was threatening the guy, Domhnall Gleeson, who I think, isn't he supposed to also be her son?
I don't know.
I feel like I read that somewhere. I think there was, maybe it got cut, but I think the reveal was like, that's why she's such a monster, is that this dude that she's like scarred up is supposed to also be her son, which is why he's a victim of her as well, as opposed to like someone who's been involved. But that might be me misremembering.
That's just you dealing with issues with your own mother. I think that's happening right
I'll
now.
Be honest, my mom was out of the house so much it would have been cool if she beat me.
She gouged me and gave me robot eyes.
I'd kill for it. Did you see how pretty those eyes were?
Right,
damn,
big old pretty robot eyes.
I kill for them.
Big old robot eyes.
This is, I'm about to step into doing actual material. I do. It was good.
Let's move into.
I liked it, but it wasn't a good movie.
Dredd, you didn't think so?
No,
I thought it was fun.
Sure,
it's a popcorn movie.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I got a soft spot for like dumb but well made action movies.
Yeah, it was definitely well made. You got to give it that.
Yes,
it is clearly the best Dredd movie.
That's true too. Both of those things are true. Still doesn't break the good movie.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
We'll agree to disagree. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Let's let's move into a segment we're going to call Soundtrack, where everyone's going to pick a sequence in the movie and just give it the most inappropriate pop accompaniment that they want. So, Diego, let's start with you.
Oh, boy. The part where I like at the end where he passes her, you know?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, he kind of like walks off into the sunset. I think that Blink 182's First Date should play there. That's what I think. After patching her up, I think he was trying to get in there.
Get in where you fit in, Dredd. All right, Tyler.
We were even talking about this when we were watching the movie, but the scene where Dredd throws Mama off the balcony and she's flying and she's like floating through the clouds of smoke and everything is really pretty. It'd be great to just hear Dido's white flag kicking, like just Lena Headey like flying through the air. I will go down with this ship. I won't put my hands up.
I'd have liked a fucking like a whole new world or some Disney song. Right in there, that'd have been good. No, for me it was I every time I saw Anderson, I just thought like that she was Hayley Williams from Paramore. So like any like so when she does that scene where she's like trapped in the other dude's mind, I was like, man, you know it would be inappropriate if Ain't It Fun was playing right now by Paramore. That's my inappropriate song. We're watching Mama bite his dick off
in that mind scene. Oh man,
that was awesome.
It'd be fun to hear like some weird like when doves cry playing, like when the dude's having sex with her in his mind, like boom, bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam. For me, I think the scene when they're firing up the chain guns and just tearing those apartments apart, I think what I would really want to add to that is just fucking that one. I don't know who plays it, but it's that ska cover of Take On Me by A-ha.
Oh, that's like real big fish.
Yeah, they're real. Just the part where like the bum 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 bum, like just to the bullets hitting shit. That would get me so jazzed more than anything else.
From the basketball soundtrack.
Is it on the basketball? Yeah, oh my god!
They play like live
that and beer. Like I think the basketball soundtrack's what they propelled go.
Myself a beer. Yeah.
Oh man. For me, any time that Dredd came in and was kicking ass, I just wanted a Bachman Turner Overdrive Taking Care of Business to kick in.
Every day.
Working overtime.
That's when he throws that stun grenade.
Yep.
Watcha.
Oh, cool. Let's do favorite scenes, favorite moments. Jamie, we'll start with you.
I guess my favorite scene was actually probably all the psychic stuff.
Okay.
I'm a big sucker for making superpowers look cool as opposed to kind of generic and boring, and the way that the camera would kind of shift its focus directly onto her and make things fuzzy.
Yeah.
After that, I really dug. Plus, her the way that they were fucking around in when they were in Avon Boxdale's brain.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the way she moved around and stuff on it, and it kind of reminded me. I don't know if you guys have watched Legion at all yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way they do some of the psychic stuff on that, it had kind of a similar vibe to it.
Yeah, kind of like a weird hazy. Yeah, you can't figure out what's going on.
Exactly, which I think psychic powers should be.
I love that. Man, I hate it so much. Why, if you're psychic, do you have to touch your temple? Like, she didn't do that. And I, like, thank God for that. That's so overdone. And that's one of my least favorite things about
Show Famke Jensen.
James McAvoy does it so much in the X-Men movies that he's in. Patrick Stewart doesn't.
No, he just gives, like, a very concerned look.
Yeah, it's called acting. I think. I did see. I know it's overused, but I liked the slow mo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that, especially like when she's doing it when she's in the bathtub and you're seeing like it's just a really pretty scene. And then when he comes in and murders everybody in slow mo to get the other side of it, I really liked that too. It was a neat thing that they did, and they overused it a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah,
but they used it. They could have done it a lot more. And they showed a little bit of restraint on it. But I liked it personally. I liked all the slow-mo stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of... One thing this movie does really well is very graphic violence, but like in a really interesting looking way.
Yeah.
Like when they had like Lena Headey like slow motion face down, like just swan diving into the pavement. I thought it was going to like show it from outside and we were just going to see her just splatter apart. But instead it does that great shot where it's like below the floor and you just see like blood,
like a bloody slowly
blossoming out of her face.
And
and
it does the dread. It winds up doing the dread red X across the screen.
That was really well done. I liked all the like the fights between Dredd and the corrupt judges.
Yeah.
I thought it was very quippy. You got to hear like some back and forth between them. The armor piercing bullets through the wall was really cool. And Dredd crushing that dude's windpipe with the butt of his gun.
You choke on it.
Oh my god.
The fact that he thought to do, like, he put in, like, he was like fighting him and then he grabbed his head and then looked at him and went,
Yeah, he made that joke about me choking, so I'm going to choke him. He sits there and goes, yep, I'm going to do that to him. And like,
get him a choke.
It took him time to come up with that plan.
I always think of a history of violence anytime anybody's throat gets crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that movie, too.
Oh, it's a good
movie. Did you watch Eastern Promises?
Yeah, not as good. No, I just like the... I like Cronenberg a lot, though.
Yeah, it's solid.
Two things about History of Violence. One, it was the first theatrically released film with an on-screen 69. And two, it was the last movie released on VHS.
Three, great comic book adaptation.
Yeah.
I've never read the comic, but I've been to.
It's pretty good. The movie's, I think, better than the comic book.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Damn.
Diego?
I really liked when she was reading his mind at the beginning, like during the interview thing. And she was like starting to like get to like some shit, and then the lady was like, "Yeah, don't do that."
Yeah.
He's like, "We're all set on that.
He will shoot you right now." Like, can't know too much about Dredd.
He's gone through so many therapists this year.
That's funny.
There's something else underneath it. He also loves kittens.
He's also a big Dog the Bounty Hunter.
He is. Dog the Bounty Hunter.
What a fucking twist.
I don't know how he gets all that hair inside the helmet.
I think for me, the biggest thing is, like, I love Carl Urban in this movie. Yeah. Like, I'm hard-pressed to think of how this character could have been better cast. And the fact that Urban, like, committed to, like, his performance was just entirely, like, mouthed out.
His jaw had to hurt so bad.
Like, he's doing that for Thor right now, too, is that he, like, bulked up to be huge because he's playing the executioner. He's like who's like a Thor-sized dude.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, your costume, people mostly aren't going to see that. And he goes, no, but I need to feel that way.
Exactly.
And I respect the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. For an actor. Urban's fucking, he's great. And I think like the action sequences are great and just like his character the whole way. I honestly think my favorite moment is when he gets on the intercom and he gives that little speech and then he says, I am the law. It's like every time I see it, it's just like, oh God, it's a Judge Dredd movie.
That's how you
good.
Know shit's real, man.
Yeah, it's like it just everything in that speech, like you get everything you need out of that character. Like you get that catchphrase and you get like this dude, like there's no wiggle room, there's no gray area. Like this dude is black and white, like you're either a bad guy or you're not. And if you're the bad guy, you're fucking done. And I really love that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Let's wrap it up. Anybody got any plugs?
I'll go first. I guess first follow me on Twitter, at Carbonix, cool. CARBONICS. It's what I would think my name would be if I was a robot.
Right.
And then if you're in Chicago on June 3rd, I'm headlining, that's probably not the right date. Someday in June, I'm headlining, Ego Trip Club, where the theme is high school. So it's going to be a bunch of comedians talking about weird high school experiences. So come check it out if you're in the area.
Hunter?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, but like I like people to follow me on Instagram. I really do, because I'm like a photographic person. My mom was a photographer, so like I like Instagram. It's HUNNAHH, Hunter. I also have a web series coming out this summer called Forever Alone. It's been a year in the making, but it's finally going to come out this summer. Also, I've got a new show called Wealth of Knowledge Man. It's a comedy trivia show that's just starting to tour. But I've got one back at home at the end of the month. If anybody that listens to this finds themselves in Kingsport, Tennessee, come and check out Wealth of Knowledge Man on the last Tuesday of the month at Sleepy Owl Brewery. But yeah, that's it. Follow me on Instagram.
Cool.
Hey, this is Tyler again. I run a fun character roast show called Character Assassination in Chicago at the Laugh Factory every first Sunday of the month. And then we're also doing one in Louisville the weekend of June 9th and 10th. And then I do a show called Late Late Breakfast. It's a very fun, weird comedy game show. We're in Chicago first Saturday every month. We're going on the road. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. June 17th. And we're going to be at the Epic Comedy Hour anniversary in Huntsville, Alabama, July 29th.
Cool.
That epic show is a fucking blasty blast.
I hear very good things. Scott Eason is great.
Nice. Just follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Diego Comedy.
Cool. You can check out all the shows I produce by going to whiskeybearcomedy.com. There's at least one show every week. hot dog show, stand-up showcases, character roast, pop culture mixtape, all kind of stuff. I also have a new album that just came out. It'll be on iTunes by the time this comes out. It's called No, the World Needs Laughter. So listen to that, buy that, give me your money so I can just retire already. Thank you to my guests, Jamie, Hunter, Tyler, and Diego. Thanks for coming on. Eric for running sound for us. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Whiskey Bear!
It's the big...